So did you want to do the intro?
Surely can. Why don't you start it?
Why don't you do, hey, sound pollution people, like you always do.
I think that was good. That's where we're going to start it. Hey. We have it all together, everybody.
Hey.
We have it going on. We suck.
All right, people. Thanks for joining us today. Today, we will be interviewing the songwriter, vocalist, guitarist, flautist of Kayfabe, the second signed RLP artist, going to release their single, The Heart, on April 1st. We'll be talking with John and finding out more about his music, why he do what he does, and stuff like that. So what's going on?
Nothing. I'm happy to be here. You're going to be...
As opposed to dead.
I mean, I don't know. Hey, I did do some research, though, because...
Oh, my God. What?
I know. This is what happens when I'm in pain. I go to find more hurts.
Let me die first. Okay, go ahead.
No, we have to both stay here. The world needs us for the revolution.
Yeah, we'll be the first run through.
Yeah, it's because we'll be at the front going, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Leave my gay kid alone before I fucking stab you in the throat.
Man, my daughter was giving me a hard time the other day, and I was thinking that. Just something that runs through. I didn't sing it to her, but.
You were thinking, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me? While your child was like, dad?
No, it wasn't just dad.
Oh, was she giving instructions?
It was like, I'm the
Tasmanian devil. Oh, Hazel.
No, it was Mabel.
I was like, Mabel's giving you instructions, and you're like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Yes. Thinking it in my head. The craziest thing when Mabel's like all freaking out and stuff. Hazel's like, I know Hazel. If you look at Hazel, Hazel's being like, dad, I would never behave like that.
Lies. You're never
gonna have to worry about it. But her look when she's looking at her sister, it's funny.
Well, that was the intro. I love starting the intro with Mabel's story.
So do you have a camera so I can...
I'm seeing him. Why can't you see him?
Damn it.
Ha ha.
I hate my computer.
It's okay. We don't need you. How much rent do we?
Sorry. She can just tell me what you look like.
There we go.
He's wearing a shirt that says brick, and all I can hear in my head is, she's a brick.
House. Let's all hang out.
It's actually it's a music venue here, too, so it's funny.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
John, thank you for joining us today. You are the singer, songwriter, ventriloquist of the band Kayfabe. You are an RLP artist, and you're getting ready to release your new single called The Heart. Tell us about your band. How did you get your name, and who's currently the lineup in your band? Do they have names? Do they have social security numbers? Stuff like that.
So, credit cards, probably. I should get that going on, though. But the Ponzi scheme. Basically what a band is, isn't it? But
it is a scheme.
That was good.
Speaking of schemes and current carny type terms, so kayfabe is originally a carny term. Father, my dad is a pro wrestler. That's what I grew up around for so long, and kayfabe was always this term because I love storytelling, and wrestling to me is just all just storytelling, and it, you know, that's what I've always watched, and especially watching it with the wrestler. I don't watch it as normal than most bands, but kayfabe is always this term because that's where you're trying to push reality. And to me, like, I've always wanted to be a rock star. It's always been in my mindset. It's always been the thing that drives me. You know, that's kind of like the suit that fits the best. I've always wanted to be a musician. I've always wanted to be in this band. And once I got it, I was just trying to think of terms. And for some reason, kayfabe kept coming up. I kept throwing it away. But, you know, because kayfabe is, you know, you don't break kayfabe, you don't break character. You got to push through it no matter what happens. It's all for the show. For me, what I've understood that I love so much from performing is it's a showpiece. It's like, oh, how can I get somebody to feel some way or something like that? And that's what kind of pro wrestling is. And that's what kind of keeping kayfabe is. So for me, I kind of took it in my mindset and kind of rephrase it to, like, you know, when you're on stage, like, don't break kayfabe. Like, you got to be wanting to perform. Otherwise, I think you kind of get lost in the shuffle easily.
You are a rock star now. So who's in the band with you that wants to be rock stars?
So like started with the with Vince. Vince is my lead guitarist. He's a fantastic guy. Has the energy. He's the heart of a lion. He's great. Brings the energy and the leadness and all kind of that rock star like just oomph I've always loved. And we have Evan. There's a latest addition. Their drummer. He's great. He's really into funk. I always try to play with him, but I've always loved kind of just rock music. So it's always like back and forth, but it's been fun kind of trying to figure out where we fit together the best. And then Roel, Roel's the sweetheart. He's probably the family person more of the group, kind of keeps us all together. He thinks those are the best bass lines that I can never really, like I always feel, but he kind of just does it. That's kind of the members we have currently.
And how did you guys all get started together?
A Facebook post. Nice. It's funny, and I look back on it too sometimes. It's just like, oh, that's really cool. So actually about probably this time frame in March last year, you know, I think watching the Beatles documentary that came out during Thanksgiving just kind of made the itch back into me. And I was like, oh, I got to make a band. I got to do something. You know, it's either now or never. You know, so like when, if you don't, not now. And I made a Facebook post and Vince messaged me back on Facebook. He actually was living in Delaware at the time. And he messaged me saying he's moving there. He kind of just saw it and inquired. And, you know, he's left everything to come and join this band without really meeting me or anything. And I was like, oh, you know what? His spirit's pretty cool. And I met him and it was just like, ah, I enjoy working with him. So it's been cool. And then Burrell came, the mutual friend who was a former member of the band that we just hit it off. He kind of just got it. And it's been kind of this nice collaboration back and forth ever since. And then, yeah, and then Evan joined later on in the band.
So I was going to say, Vince is a really good guitarist. So I think as y'all get further into this, he's really going to blossom into something beautiful because he has the speed and the technical ability. It's just when he gets more comfortable, you know, on stage and in the studio that he's just going to tear it up. It's going to be really cool. And I like Roel too. He's really nice.
What was it like working in the studio with Uncle Brent? Is he as much of a pain in the ass as I think he is? Be honest. He can't hurt you. You're not with him right now.
At first you think so. Like, you know, like, fuck. Like,
he's guy's hardcore.
Gonna, you know, he's going to be something. You know, he's like, oh, you know, because he has that energy. Like, you know, he has just that where he just kind of acts like he gets it. But,
see the face. That was the best.
Yeah, they can't see the face. Damn it.
That was fantastic. I saw it. It's better.
you have to be in this moment. You got to be here. But but after he kind of like settles down, this energy he brings, you start to really get the collaboration going on. You're like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, it's not, it's been nice working with him because he's like, he as a musician and a songwriter kind of gets the, what I'm trying to do or what I feel I'm trying to do, which is, you know, storytelling.
So that's really helpful to have somebody like that in the studio and not just somebody who's fully technical. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like dumbing it down. Like I don't read music. I don't know anything, you know, I don't know absolutely nothing. I think Brent kind of realized that, you know, even with the tempo, I was afraid to play with the click track. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And he's like, oh, you can. We all learned that we could. You know, that was the plus. Like, there was no, like negative sides to what, you know, what we're struggling with or maybe felt what we're struggling with. It was just kind of like, hey, it's cool. Just get it out there, you know. So it was nice to work with them that way.
The thing that was cool was his drummer goes in there. And they've tried to do it with a click track. They've tried it all these different ways. So we're in the booth with John. And I think you're singing, right, John?
Yeah.
Singing, and the drummer's in the other room playing drums, and that's it. So he pretty much nailed his drum track just playing it from memory. It was crazy.
That's impressive.
And
that's
then John, when I first met him, I was like, okay, can you play the click track? Because that will help out with a bunch of stuff. And he's like, I can try. And I was like, no, either you can or you cannot. There's no in between. So we get in there.
Brent's like fucking Yoda in the studio.
He just nailed it as far as the track goes. I mean, perfect as far as doing the click track. And so that was a great surprise. I was so happy because if you can get everything to a click track, then you can lock stuff in pretty quickly in the studio and it moves a lot faster. So, you know, the drummer having his stuff together and then John just being able to lay it down with the click track just really helped move the song quickly. So we were able to maybe spend a little extra time on vocals and guitar stuff.
So you're signed to RLP. How did that transpire?
So I used to work at a camera store, and Randy, the creator of RLP, was a frequent customer. And one day we were just kind of talking about how he has a label and he has a TV, the Texas Scene TV that he's trying to do. And I just mentioned I was in a band. I was like, hey, and because we were just starting to play at the time. And I was like, hey, why? Just mention it to him. And he's like, oh, we're in a band. And he's like, oh. And I think I just mentioned that we're going to be playing, where was it at? The Pink Zeppelins, a local book and record store that hosts shows, which is pretty cool. And I wasn't sure if he's going to show up because I think it was on a Sunday around like 9, I believe it was. And I think he told me he was going to be driving down from Dallas. He wasn't sure. And I think he told me later on his wife convinced him to go. And I was like, oh, okay. And he came and saw us, and it just seemed like he was impressed with what we saw. He tells me, he's like, I didn't know what to expect. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this band, whatever, see what's going on. And he said, when he started, I just had to go get my camera. And that's how he knew he was interested. And then he came back to the store, let me know what he was thinking. And then we just started a relationship ever since. But yeah, working with him, though, it's been interesting because, you know, I think I've always wanted this type of scenario. You know, I think a lot of people can do a lot of this on their own nowadays, you know, without a record company. You know, I see it all the time in this scene we have here in San Antonio. And I was doing that at some point, you know, but I think I realized I don't want to be a producer, you know, maybe eventually down the line. But right now I want to work on the music and not have to worry about going over everything. It's nice. You know, that initial like kind of like, oh shit, someone kind of believes in what I'm trying to do here. And it's a little bit struggle learning wise, you know, it's just trying to figure out the business of everything. And I'm starting to kind of really start to walk that path of it and understanding. So it's been good working with Randy with RLP Entertainment.
So, John, was that your first time in the studio?
Yeah, that was like, you know, it was always garages or storage units I used to rent and play out of.
Can you kind of tell everyone from a indie label artist standpoint what that was like going in for your first time? You kind of talked a little bit about it, but go into more about how the song got picked. What was the how did you do your pre-production before you got into the studio? What, tell us a little bit about that.
It was terrifying.
It's overwhelming.
It really is a little overwhelming. Like you don't know what to expect. This is everything you think of when you think of recording a song or an album or anything, you know. Ever since like all my heroes, that's kind of what they've done. That's how they've done it. Really, I just kind of really tried to take it all in at once, as much as I could, while also starting to be present. Because, you know, I'm trying not to overthink. I'm trying not to be as involved without, again, like remaining present. And just the way everything kind of played out, it kind of felt like, you know, you're kind of on like center stage while everyone's looking at you through the booth. And it's like so intimate because it's just like you and the microphone, but there's still people just looking at you outside.
And literally, they're just like.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
That P-mat under you. P-mat. You know, so it'd soak up all the extra fluids that came out when you got really nervous.
It's okay. You can just tell them it's for your fetish. You can tell them.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have to do it on a mat if it was my fetish.
No, that's why you have that yellow beard, man.
Oh, I was starting to think we had made this poor guy nervous. Never mind.
I am wondering how much of this are you going to cut out, man?
I don't know. That might stay in there. Now you know what to expect, and now it won't feel so overwhelming. You'll know what to expect. It's not going to feel so.
Yeah, and that's honestly why we were kind of happy that we chose the Heart, because the Heart was I was trying to like figure out which one to do, and the Heart I kind of threw out there last minute because I think we had four other ones that we showed Randy so he can kind of get a better grasp of, you know, which one you could possibly pick with the for the single. I threw that one out on a whim, and because that's the one that Brent saw the most potential in, you know, especially for a first single. It's simple, but that's kind of what a lot of inspirations into it did. You know, with that song, like for me, like the intro of that song has like a very Nirvana feel, you know, with Dave kind of just stomping on the drums, you know, the dun 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 dun. It's I always thought of just Dave hitting the drums there, and then with the chorus, I just thought of kind of I say Dave Grohl from Nirvana. I don't know if I said that, but I think of, you know, in the chorus was kind of this more bright, you know, type song where I'd always hear the chorus, you know, with all those bands in the 90s that I was so inspired by. It felt simple enough to really kind of see what I can do with it, especially for a first one. So
Brent, why were you so drawn to that track? Why was that your choice for recording? Since you had like three others you sort of listened to, what stuck out?
Well, when I heard it, it was just him on an acoustic guitar the first time. And so I was listening for, like, he likes to tell stories. So me being like that too, I was looking for the one that had the best story. And then I thought, just listening to the acoustic track, not knowing what the rest of the band sounded like outside of what I heard on YouTube and stuff, I wanted to make sure that we picked a good one with a good story, a good substance to it. And it's kind of, that song's kind of crazy because it's like really driving. But like when he said it got to the chorus, John just really opens up his vocals and it's just like piercing in the verse. But then when you go to the chorus, it just opens up. And even in the acoustic video version I was watching and listening to, you could feel the chorus when he opened up, because I don't know how he keeps from busting a testicle, to be honest with you, when he goes for some of those notes. And he has a bunch of grit in his voice when he does it. He pushes it, drives. The whole time after I met him, I was like, dude, don't blow out your voice before we go into the studio. I think I said that every time we talked to him. But that
I
song
I feel stressed about that too a little bit.
Yeah, you freaked him out.
Just a little bit. I was drinking tea and taking care of it. And then I think I actually got a little sick beforehand. And I was like, fuck, no way. So, but anyway, it's probably the stress he gave me. That's why I got sick. But anyway, go on. Sorry.
Maybe, but you're a big boy. You were able to pull through it and lead your band to the promised land. But that song just has a great story. And it's not that it was necessarily better than the other songs. Mm-hmm. It just had a more complete story.
Are you an emerging Texas artist looking for a platform to share your talent? Well, you're in luck. All you need to do is send your videos right here to videos@texasscenetv.com. You'll have your shot for your video to be shown to the world right here on the newest, hottest channel for music, Texas Scene TV.
So, John, how do you feel about that, man? It's down now, and you're actually releasing it. What does that feel like?
It's like a mixture of a lot of things. Like, there's excitement, there's uncertainty, there's, you know, there's some of that nervousness. You just don't know what to expect, especially being a first single and, you know, being backed by, you know, by RP Entertainment or Records as well. You know, it's, I don't know. You know, it's like it's kind of like a thing where I just got to experience it. And once it kind of happens, I'm like, okay, that's just how I am. Like, I'm never sure until the moment happens. I'm like, oh, you know, I it's like going to the studio. You know, it's like, okay, I just didn't know. I had to try to take it all in. So right now, I'm just really this anticipation of, you know, I don't know how the night's going to go. I don't know how how it's going to perform, you know, just everything. I think that has the pressure of being trying to be an artist in the music industry. It's I'm kind of reveling in it and just waiting to see what tips over.
Well, I really like the single. I really like the vibe. It's funny how you said Dave Grohl. I kind of heard some of the punk rock grungy feel. I even said to Brent, I was like, this has like this old school sort of raw grunge punk rock feel to it. And then you said your drummer likes funk music, and Dave Grohl actually really liked disco and funk music, and he used a lot of that sort of drum stuff. So now I'm like, now I'm gonna have to go back and listen again. But yeah, I like it. I think the people are gonna like it. I think it's a sound that we're not hearing enough of lately. It's a lot of pop wash stuff. So I'm excited to see what it does. Not that there's anything wrong with pop.
No, I hear you in that. I do.
The coolest thing that will happen to you at this point, because you've written it, that was exciting. You recorded it, that was exciting. You're distributing it, you know it's coming out, that's exciting. The next exciting thing is when you actually hear it somewhere outside of your head and you're not playing it. Or you say, Alexa, play Kayfabe, The Heart, and she pulls it up. Or Google, or you go to iTunes and you see your pretty little mugs on a single artwork. That's exciting. So do you have any like cool plans to celebrate the release of The Heart?
Yeah, we're actually going to be celebrating it at a, I guess, kind of like a house show type market. It's a secret show, so it won't be released until the date of, which is Saturday, the day of the single, actually. There's a, trying to think of her name, Shopcat California Soul. She's really supported us over this past year of band. So it feels nice to kind of be celebrating it with people who have supported us this whole past year. We're playing with new people who we've been wanting to network with and, you know, and play with because of their sound. And it's going to be a nice time. So we're pretty excited.
So it's going to be a private party. So you're fucking snobs.
He's only saying it's private because he doesn't want to deal with you anymore. Jonathan is over here like, I will not. I'm going to drink some water, bitch. I am not admitting to that.
You know what, John? If we do this right, you won't have to deal with me anymore. You can go be a big star, dude. Do you have any plans? What are the plans beyond that? Like, are you having a release show where you like actually dedicate the show to releasing the song? Are you going to do a video? Are you going to take nude pictures on the beach? What's your plan?
There is an idea I'm mulling over. I've been trying to actually keep it under wraps. I need to reach out and make it happen. So I do plan on putting in a big show, somewhere unique where I don't think anyone's seen in San Antonio. At least not that I can recall. So I'm hoping to get that going very soon. So I'm gonna be a little more secretive about it.
What about a music video?
We've actually been talking about that, actually. So like I said, my dad is a professor. He actually owns a school in San Antonio, and he has a bunch of rings. And we've always talked about it because he always throws ideas at me. Like, what do you think about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, that could be a good idea. And so that's kind of giving me my approval to really think about it. So we want to maybe do something in the ring and see what story we can do with, you know, the story of the song, since pro wrestling is storytelling. So it's going to be pretty fun.
So is the album cover in one of the wrestling rings?
It is. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Do you wrestle? Have you wrestled?
Oh, no. I mean, I've always wanted to growing up. It's funny because all of the students tell me that as well. I'm like, you should do it. You know, you can do it. I even try and do some grappling with some of the wrestlers just in fun, just to try to see if I can keep up in any way, any form. But it's always been a what if. And I guess the fun thing about wrestling is that they say never.
But we have to be careful if you're getting in the ring, because even if it's, you know, part of a show, because I don't want to say it's fake, but we know what we know. You don't want to hurt your fingers or your hands.
And you don't want to hurt your voice.
That's your livelihood.
Because if the big show choke slams you, you're not going to recover, man. Do you know who the big show is, buddy?
I know who the big show is, buddy. Don't worry. I know. He's just as bald as you.
But he's way bigger.
What advice would you give a young singer-songwriter right now?
I'd say fail. Like, just allow yourself to fail. I mean, that's how, you know, how else are you going to try and progress forward? You know, I think one of my favorite quotes is there's no growth in the comfort zone. There really isn't. And you really have to push yourself and just put yourself on that path. Otherwise, it's never going to flourish the way you imagine it. You know, I think I've learned so much how to fail. You know, sometimes all the time I still fail. And I always try to look at the lesson of the ball versus, you know, like trying to let it eat me. If I can find some sort of lesson, then I'm able to kind of push even like an inch forward. So I'd say just allow yourself to fail, kind of see what sticks and what doesn't. It's simple as that, really.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Sound Pollution Podcast today. We appreciate you. Thank you, John, for being on the show. I think people are going to really like the single. Please make sure you are clicking on those links below. If you have any interest in reaching out to RLP, you can do so. Also, we'll have the link below. If you really want to be a butthead, you can reach out to Brent and annoy him with your singles. That would be hilarious for me. Please also send me an email at soundpollutionpodcast@gmail.com to let me know that you are, in fact, harassing Brent. Don't do anything illegal, but please give him a hard time. I think that's it for today. I know it was a shorter episode, but it was a good one.
It was good. I'm glad we were able to do this today, and I'm very happy with the work John and his band did. So I think they're going to have some cool stuff going on in the future. So I don't know if they'll invite me to play with them in the sandbox, but they're going to do some cool stuff. So
at that private show that you're not invited to at that release.
We're having a secret show. Don't tell Brent.
Randy's going to fucking message you. Just send you a video. Look where we are.
Actually, Randy's pretty excited about this release. He's been up my ass about it.
All right, everybody, get out there and
make some noise.